Now, if you're over the age of 85 in this country, you'll get your COVID-19 vaccine in the coming weeks. Rollout of the vaccine for that cohort begins this week. Well, we're joined now by the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. Minister, thanks for joining us.
Justin, good afternoon.
Minister, we'll talk about the vaccine rollout programme in a moment, but I just want to ask you about that story that Mary Regan was reporting on there. That comes from the story in the Irish Daily Mirror yesterday, which stated that Gardaí were assessing a complaint in relation to the leaking of a GP contract by the then now tarnished then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Were you aware that Gardaí were looking into this?
No, I wasn't actually. The first I heard about it was it being reported through the media.
And have you yourself, you haven't been contacted or spoken to by Gardaí then, I take it?
No, I haven't. Obviously, I will. It goes without saying if they do. But this did happen, I think, quite some time before I came into the role. But needless to say, I will if they're looking for anything.
Okay. The report by Fergal Blaney in the Mirror yesterday said that a complaint was made by somebody in the Department of Health. Has anybody in the Department of Health come forward to you and made you aware of any concerns that they might have?
No, not to me. I'm not aware of anything like that.
Okay, and are you satisfied then that, as you see it, that everything at the moment is above board in relation to this matter?
Oh, absolutely. A complaint has been made to the guards. They're looking into it, and I think we need to let them just get on with their inquiries.
All right, let's talk about the vaccination programme, because over 85s are getting vaccinated this week and over the coming weeks, and that's obviously very good news. Can you tell us firstly how many people over the age of 85 are going to get their vaccine this week, and how long will it take before they're all vaccinated in that cohort?
Yeah, so I think this coming week, I think it's an important week really in our fight back against this. Obviously, we've been focusing very hard on long-term residential care and on our frontline healthcare workers, as is good and proper. And tomorrow we're moving into the general population for the first time, starting with the most vulnerable. So it's a three-week programme. There's a little over 70,000 people over the age of 85 who haven't yet been vaccinated through the residential care facility, for example. It'll take 3 weeks. So this coming week, there'll be about 20,000 vaccines distributed to 84 GP practices, the largest practices. That'll be in about 20 counties. The following week then, we'll be ramping up further. We'll be getting to another 384 practices. And then the week of the 4th of March, the balance of the practices will receive their delivery. So GPs have now started contacting the people who are on their books to make arrangements for them to come in. So 3 weeks from now, hopefully, Justin, if you and I were talking, the 85 and over cohort will be vaccinated. Now, as per the long-term residential care settings, there will be some for whom it might take a bit longer. For example, people who are suffering from COVID at the moment, recovering from COVID, just like in the nursing homes. But other than that group, 3 weeks from now, we hope to have the 85s done.
Why is it taking 3 weeks? I mean, if you look at Scotland, they're able to vaccinate, I think, around 60,000 people per day. Why are we taking 3 weeks to vaccinate 70,000 people?
Well, it's down to logistics and supply. So there are operational decisions by the HSE, but also working very, very closely with the IMO and the GPs, who I have to say have been phenomenal. You'll remember about 2 weeks ago, there was a change in the advice that we should use the most effective vaccines with the most vulnerable, so Pfizer and Moderna. So there was a big, big logistical challenge. And I just want to acknowledge the work from the Irish Medical Organisation, from their members, the GPs, and from the HSE, because we had always planned on rolling out tomorrow, and we're still doing that, even though the logistics obviously are more complex.
Okay, you mentioned there you're using the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines for this older cohort. And yet the WHO was out this week recommending that the AstraZeneca vaccine should be used for this cohort too. So why aren't we doing that?
So the WHO advice was slightly different to that. What the WHO advice said was essentially exactly what the European Medicines Agency said and our own expert group said, which was that all three vaccines, including AstraZeneca, are safe and highly effective for all adults. And that was really, really good news. What the WHO was saying was, look, there are countries around the world who may not have the luxury we have to pick and choose between the vaccines to say, can we match the most effective vaccines to the most vulnerable? And they were saying for countries who do not have that luxury, then they were restating really what the EMA had said, which was AstraZeneca is still safe and highly effective for older age groups as well.
Now, we got 21,000 AstraZeneca vaccines into Ireland last Saturday, and yet by Tuesday, only 476 vaccines had been administered. Now, you were on this programme a couple of weeks ago, and you said that you were looking for advanced delivery of the AstraZeneca vaccine so that you could get it into people's arms, that not a moment would be lost before getting it out and getting that vaccination into people. And yet it took 2 days before we started ramping up that vaccine. What caused that delay?
So AstraZeneca was meant to arrive actually this coming week. The contracted delivery was for the week of the 15th, which is tomorrow. We worked very hard with AstraZeneca through the commission to accelerate that, which is why we were able to get it in earlier and why we were actually able to roll it out last week. So what we've done based on the advice from NIAC was, as of last Monday, we started using AstraZeneca with the second group of healthcare workers. So essentially, the supply came in in one delivery. I beg your pardon?
You weren't ready for it when it came in, was it?
No, I believe the HSC was ready for it. Yeah, it arrived in over the weekend, and on the Monday they were using it to vaccinate frontline healthcare workers. So I think they were.
All right, there are a number of GPs that are expressing concerns now that you're not allowing the use of hotels or parish halls for these vaccinations that are going to happen over the coming weeks. And some GPs are concerned that their surgeries are too small to cope with the numbers of people who will be who they'll have to deal with. Why are you not using those larger halls, the hotels or the parish halls, to do these vaccinations?
There was an operational decision taken by the HSC, but in consultation with the Irish Medical Organisation. So my understanding is the IMO supports the decision to do this. And essentially, the decision was, given the vulnerability of the older age groups, to vaccinate them in clinical settings. So what's being done is about 7 in every 10 GP practices around the country can be used directly, that they're large enough and have the sufficient patient numbers to do that. And then some of the smaller GP practices are doing a few different things. In some cases, they're actually working with the larger practices and vaccinating the people on their books at the larger practices. And also there's hubs being set up. So for example, there's 3 already in the works in Dublin, the Helix in DCU, in Cork, Munster Technological University, and then Merlin Park in Galway. And these are pretty big operations where a lot of the smaller GP practices are going to come together and vaccinate the older age groups there.
You've mentioned a September date as the time frame by which every adult in the country might be vaccinated. Is that still your target? Is that still likely?
So the September timeline was always the month whereby, if all of the vaccines were authorised by the EMA, and if they were authorised at approximately the expected time, and if all of the deliveries from the pharmaceutical companies come through. This is the advance purchase agreements. Now, we already know that AstraZeneca will not be meeting its agreed supply for the first 3 months of the year. So the September date was an effort to give people a sense for the direction we're going.
Okay.
What people were asking me was,
caveats and all included, Minister.
Are we talking about winter, or are we talking about next year? So if the supplies come through as expected, then the September date would still hold.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, can I ask you, during the week, you may have heard or become aware that on Liveline, there was at least one doctor who was refusing to give vaccines and also refusing to take vaccines as well. What do you say to medical professionals who are refusing to administer or refusing to be vaccinated themselves?
Well, I was very taken aback, and actually, I think it's even worse than you've said, because the piece I heard as well was people saying that their GP was saying not only would they not vaccinate them, but they wouldn't even give them the information they needed to find a GP who would. So just for anyone who's listening this afternoon, Justin, anyone who finds themselves in that situation, and in my opinion, no one should find themselves in that situation, but if they do, there is a HSE helpline, HSE Live line, and people can ring that, and they will get connected with a GP over that. My view is, GPs who don't want to vaccinate themselves, so be it. We don't. I'm very surprised at that. Certainly the vast majority of healthcare workers around the country have been not only getting vaccinated, but very much demanding that they get vaccinated as quickly as possible. I don't believe anyone in the country should be denied a vaccination by their GP. I don't think it's acceptable behaviour at all.
And do medical professionals have a right as citizens themselves to refuse the vaccine if they don't want it?
Well, it's certainly a question to reflect on. I think if a healthcare worker doesn't want to take the vaccine themselves, that is their right. We don't have mandatory vaccination. Now, it raises operational questions for the future. So, you know, we can tease out with the HSE and with the representative groups, if there are healthcare workers who refuse to get vaccinated, could that limit the healthcare settings that they could work in? Because we don't have, nobody has the information in yet on transmissibility when you get vaccinated. But certainly the experts I'm talking to say the initial indications are that the vaccinations not only protect the person, but also potentially reduce transmissibility. And so certainly that is something we could look at in the future.
Now, level 5 restrictions have been in place for a couple of weeks now, and we read in the Sunday Business Post today a report about a letter from the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar to somebody in the events industry suggesting that there would be no gatherings of more than 50 people indoors until the autumn of this year. Is that your understanding as well?
I think what we're dealing with here is the challenge of an awful lot of uncertainty. So about 7 in every 10 of the new cases, certainly the briefing I got from NPHET on Thursday, that about 7 in every 10 of the new cases are the UK variant. We know that it's much more aggressive. And so there's two things happening here at the same time. We've got this much more contagious variant in the country, but at the same time, we're rolling out a vaccination program, which, you know, with highly effective vaccines. So specifically what month different parts of the economy will be able to open up at this point is certainly difficult to say. But for the moment, certainly the public health advice to me and to government is unambiguous, which is the case numbers, while very, very good and steady progress is being made, the case numbers are still very high. So NPHET is forecasting that if we manage to continue suppressing the virus at the rate we have been, which is by no means a given, but if everyone can stick with and keep going with level 5, even though it is very, very hard to do, that we could be somewhere between 200 and 400 cases by the end of February. We need to keep pushing down much more than that before we can begin to very, very carefully open up.
OK, so based on the projections that are available to you then, how long more are we going to be living under level 5 restrictions?
I think that's the $6 million question, and I would love to have an accurate answer, as would government, as would NPHET. At the moment, Ireland's in the same position as the rest of Europe, whereby with the amount of uncertainty there is between the vaccines and how much of an impact, for example, the vaccines have on transmissibility, and we hope they have a big impact, and then these variants and how quickly they can spread, it's very difficult for anyone, including our experts and our modelling teams, to say exactly how long it's going to take. But certainly we need to get it down much more than it is now. And the results, Justin, for Ireland at the moment they're mixed. So steady progress is being made. We're about mid-table in Europe at the moment. And thanks to everyone sticking with level 5, we've got the biggest fall in Europe at the moment in our 14-day rate. However, I had a briefing with Dr. Ronan Glynn after NPHET on Thursday, and various points were raised. So close contacts are going up again. Not a lot, but they are going back up again. The positivity rates remain high, particularly with close contacts. The percentage of cases, the new cases coming from Dublin, is rising. We think there's more opportunity in terms of workplaces to help people just add those extra protections as well, particularly with this new variant. So okay. It's far too early, unfortunately, given all of that, to be able to give accurate predictions okay. as to when we can exit level five.
Finally, and briefly, Minister, if you could, the big question that many parents will have is when schools are likely to reopen. Based on the numbers that you have there, the progression rate of the virus, is there a prospect that schools could reopen by the end of the month, that we could see primary schools and maybe secondary schools leaving certs return by the end of the month?
Well, I can tell you, as a dad with three primary school children myself, Justin, I dearly want an answer to the same question, because the school's been closed. It's taken such a toll on the students and on parents right across the
country. Do you have an answer, Minister?
We want to see them open as quickly as possible. We don't have that yet. I know Minister Foley is involved in intensive talks and confidential talks with the stakeholders, but certainly we want to see. It's great that the special schools have reopened on a phased basis. Great that we're going to see the special classes in mainstream schools opening up again. I believe that's from Monday week, from the 22nd of February. And then obviously we need to get the Leaving Cert students back as quickly as possible. But my understanding is that there are no fixed dates as of yet.
All right. Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, thank you very much indeed for talking to us today.